Brother Mike, thank you very much for that word. It was a good word. It's a good teaching. Could I suggest one thing?
Of course.
That we say it would be easier to understand if we said that he was a type of Christ, rather than literal. Yeah.
So, yes, amen. Of course I meant that.
You meant that. You said spiritual. So the term type of Christ, type of Jesus, and then I've heard people talk of Joseph also and call him the pattern son. Have you ever heard that term? Joseph was the pattern son.
Absolutely, and that's what God wants out of all of us. That's his goal, that we all become, Jesus was the first one. He was the pattern son, and God's goal is we all become like Jesus.
Yeah, the pattern son. And we're talking about sonship, aren't we? That we too become the pattern son. Literally, the translation of the name Joshua would probably have been a better one, because that one actually is Yeshua. But Joseph was the pattern son. He was the type of Christ. Amen. You know, just a couple of interesting things, and I don't want to monopolize this because I'm sure everybody else has a whole lot to say. When we read this and think of Benjamin and the way Joseph is talking about him, we think of a 10-year-old boy, standing there in Jacob's tent, and he's hovering over him. And Benjamin was not a 10 or 12-year-old boy. He was a fully grown man, father of 10 children already by the time they went into Egypt. Let me read it here in Genesis 46. And these are the ones of the 70 that went into Egypt. It says, and the sons of Benjamin were Bela, Bechar, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ilhi, Rosh, Mupin, and Hupman, and Ered. There are 10 of them. This guy was a full-grown man, married man, and father of 10 children. So, why was Jacob so hovering over him and protecting him? I mean, he already had 10 grandchildren from Benjamin. I think old Jacob had to release his hold on some things too.
I'm going to add a couple little things to that. Mark said, why was he so hung up on Benjamin? Remember, Rachel only had 2 children, Joseph and Benjamin. And remember what Rachel was to Jacob? What he loved the most. Mm-hmm. That's why he was so hung up on Joseph and Benjamin. It was the only 2 sons that came from what he cared about the most. The rest of them were born of concubines or a wife that he didn't even want in the first place. So that was one thing. And then here's the other thing. We just talked about how your name is your nature. You know what the name Benjamin means? It means yet another son. That's what this is all about. We just talked about the pattern son and God wanting us to be like Jesus. The name Benjamin means yet another son. That's where we're all trying to head for.
Well, what Rachel had named him was son of my sorrow.
Yeah, but Jacob changed it.
Well, what it said that Jacob changed it to, his intention was son of my right hand.
Okay, Okay, so maybe it means son of my right hand instead of what did I say? Yet another son. Those are
Yeah,
kind of,
well,
those are interchangeable in my mind. Whether you're the son of God's right hand or you're yet another son, it's saying the same thing to me.
yeah, son of the right hand.
yeah, right hand is the favored one. Who's the my memory is Simeon. Simeon, the one that got thrown in prison while they were went back to Canaan. You know, God has a interesting way of dealing out justice, doesn't he? Simeon, I believe, was the ringleader, the one that really initiated taking Joseph, putting him in the pit, selling him. Simeon really wanted to kill him. And Judah was one of the two that really was looking for a way to save him. Judah and Reuben, I think. So Simeon is the one that gets thrown in prison. Judah is the one that is ready to lay his life down for the boy. Interesting. Did you ever see the movie that they made? The Christian movie of Joseph? Where Rita? The movie Joseph. What was the name of that, and where did we get it? Do you have any idea where it
People
came
watch it for free on YouTube. Yeah, you could probably watch it
Yeah,
on
Jeremy said you can watch it for free.
Where is it?
By the way, it is an excellent, excellent movie. I know we have it here somewhere. It's been you there was a series. I think there was a series of them. One of them was Joseph. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, let's see.
A series of three, wasn't it?
Well, there's a bunch of them here. Has two DVDs in there.
Yeah, two DVDs. Well, there were others you could buy with this series too. It was David, Solomon, Jeremiah, Esther, I mean a whole bunch of them. Genesis, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samson, and Delilah. But this happened to be the one of it was the movie of Joseph. Yeah, Joseph. Very good movie.
Mark, could you hold up the front face of that cover again? I'm going to take a picture of
This cover or these?
it. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Which one was the Joseph one? Let's hold the Joseph one up too.
Well, it's inside that little booklet, right?
Yeah, this is just the case, and there's two
Yeah,
deep.
okay. I just took a picture of it, so if I want to try to get it, I'll be sure and get the right one, because the one about Joseph is inside there, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this one has the Joseph in it then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It has Genesis, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Samson, and Delilah. And this one has David, Solomon, Jeremiah, Esther, Jesus, and Paul the Apostle.
Look there, can you see that, Larry? You're famous. You made it on the picture I just took.
I just want to say that every one of those movies is equally as good as Joseph, too. I've seen them all.
Yeah.
That's too bad I ruined your picture, Mike.
One thing that stood out to me in this was that when Joseph was, when they were all before him, the brothers, except for Benjamin, Joseph, they, I'm not getting it right in my head. He picked, Joseph picked Simeon to stay behind.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph picked him.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Judah then gave himself for Benjamin, and Benjamin didn't come back. But then when they all sat down to eat, they were sat in order of birth, and they marveled at that. And who would have known? I mean, nobody in Egypt would have known that except for Joseph, the order of the lineage of the birth. And of course, he favored Benjamin being his full brother. So that was always very interesting to me, that how he did that and how, yes, justice does get served. Doesn't it? Takes a while sometimes, but the truth always, always prevails over the lie. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Mike.
Can I ask a question? And this may be a little bit off a topic, but why was Benjamin given the five portions? I always wondered that. I could never find out why.
He could never eat all that.
That's a spiritual.
And you know what else you could say about that, Jeremy, is remember the story of the guy that got the five talents? He got it doubled. Benjamin was the favorite son, and he got five times. It's just a theme in the Bible that when you're the apple of God's eye, he's going to really treat you, you know, very good.
Go ahead.
The favored son is always the youngest, that which is last. I mean, think about it in scripture, right? David, Jesus as opposed to Adam, and you can go down the list. It's always the second born, the youngest one, that's favored. There's a verse in scripture that says, I know what I'm thinking. I just can't get to the verse that it says that, it's not that which comes first that is spiritual, but that which comes second is spiritual. Okay? You know what I'm talking about, Mark, right? It's not the first is natural. The second is spiritual.
Mm.
So you apply that to the firstborn versus the secondborn. Anyway, what I wanted to say about this story is that when you look at the whole thing, the whole life of Joseph, remembering and his son, and his brothers. Remember that Joseph here being a type of Christ, his brothers being a type of wretched, sinful sinners that need to come to the Lord. Remember, they, in their natural state, their sinful state, that which is born of Adam, they look, they see God as in a negative sense. And people in the world are the same way. When you try to talk to someone in the world about the Lord, about God, about Jesus, they don't want to hear it, because for the most part they think only that God is going to force them to give up their lifestyle, you know. So they look at God, as coming to God, as in a negative sense. And that's the same way these brothers of Joseph viewed God, or the type of Christ, in a negative sense, that he's, you know, he's going to get us, you know, everything that's happening, you know, is going to be to our hurt or our harm. And it wasn't until Joseph revealed himself to them that they realized that it wasn't to their hurt, but it would be a blessing to them. So in essence, it's a picture of this being born again. They didn't understand who God was, who Christ, and we don't understand, people in the world don't understand who Jesus is until the born again experience. When God opens himself up to them, when they realize that it's not negative, but it's a blessing to them. And that's why, you know, I see this whole picture of Joseph calling his brothers to himself so that he can reveal himself and bring about the repentance that they need for salvation.
Amen. Mike, one more thing about Simeon. If you go back further, Simeon had a very violent, angry nature about him. He was a cruel man. And it was Simeon, actually, that initiated that, what will we call it, the annihilation of all the males of Shechem, because of what the young prince did to his sister. It was Simeon that was the ringleader of that, along with Levi. He got Levi involved in it. And when you see the movie that we're talking about, we played the movie. We had a granddaughter, Liza, was about 4 or 5 years old when we played it. You know, I had trouble keeping track of who these 10 fellas were. But in the movie, when Simeon came out and came before Joseph, he broke down and he wept and he repented. And Liza was just, I don't know, she was about 4 or 5 years old. She looked at us and she said, "It's about time Simeon repented." I couldn't believe it. She'd been keeping track of him. She'd been watching Simeon all the while. It's about time Simeon repented.
Amen. Just a couple little things that came to my mind. One of them was to comment on what Larry said about the youngest being the favored one. If we think about the fact that our name is our nature, there was 12 of those guys, and their natures need changing. Okay. Mm. Their natures need changing. When they finally get to the last one, and his name means son of my right hand, we can see that that's why the youngest one can be seen as being favored in the Bible. And then what Mark just said about the little girl realizing that, it brought a story to my mind that just shows us how much more kids know than we think they know. There was a famous photographer that used to take pictures of Marilyn Monroe. And one time he took his little 10-year-old daughter with him on one of these picture shoots. And in the picture shoot, Marilyn Monroe was naked in a swimming pool. And she had one arm and one leg up on the deck of the pool, you know, and you couldn't see anything else. And the little girl said, "Daddy, that's a picture that shows nothing and says everything."
I just want to make one comment, because way back in the beginning, maybe I misunderstood, but Joseph does not carry the same meaning as Jesus. Joseph means, may God add. He shall add, increasing. But Joshua, Yeshua, Jehoshua, all of those have the same meaning as Jesus, which is Jehovah is salvation. So there is a difference between the name of Jesus and Joseph. They're not the same.
I just wanted to comment on that, and maybe I was wrong about it, but I wasn't saying it had the same meaning. I just said the name was the same name. And maybe I was wrong about that. I always understood that the word, the name Joseph, was the same as the name and word Jesus. Not that the meaning was the same, just that the name. So I'm not sure about that.
Maybe I misunderstood. But anyway, Joseph does have a different meaning. Yeah. But Joshua and all the rest have the same. Scott.
Nevertheless, he is a type of Christ.
Yes, he is.
I was just wanted to comment about what Larry said about the younger shall be the favored. That started back in the garden. Cain was the oldest, and then Abel. And it just kept going on from there. Wasn't it? Jacob was the second born. The younger will serve, the older will serve the younger. And it just goes on and on. So there's a pattern. First the natural, then the spiritual. So, hallelujah.
Yeah, and which way did it go? Jacob and Esau were in the womb at the same time, and one of them was starting to come out, and the other one got out first or something.
Esau beat him out.
Esau beat him out, okay.
Yeah, Esau was the eldest. He had the birthright.
Okay.
But well, the midwife put the thread on Joseph's hand because his hand came out first.
Yeah, so that makes sense with Ishmael was born first, who was not the promised son, right?
Yeah.
And it said of Ishmael, his hand will be against every man's hand, and every man's hand will be against him. And boy, are we seeing that in the earth right now today.
You know, Mike, I think I finally got it, what you meant when you said Joseph and Jesus. You're talking the nature, right, is the same.
Well,
like Jesus.
Yes, I did mean that, but I actually thought the name Joseph was the name Jesus in another language. So maybe I got that part of it wrong.
Well, maybe you're right there. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still not sure yet. I always heard it was just like Jorge is George. I always was taught that the name Joseph was the same as the name Jesus, only in a language 2,000 years down the line. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure.
Anyway, Joseph did have the nature of Christ.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
You know, the thing Larry was talking about, of the youngest ending up being the favored, man, that is not man's idea, because scripturally the eldest had a special position, that they were to take the double heritage, and in turn they were to care for the senior parents in their old age. And men have that idea today yet. It's been a thing ingrained in men for years and years. There's a word for it. I'm trying to think of the word. It's a long word, starts with G, genital prima something or other. But the thing is, if you go and look in the Bible where men have tried to promote their eldest son, many times it didn't work out. It didn't work out the way man wanted it. In fact, there was nothing wrong with putting that responsibility and maybe even that blessing to the oldest. But when you read the Bible, you find out men trying to do that, and it worked the opposite way. So that's very interesting. You know, the eldest son was supposed to get all the blessing, and turns out God chose the younger one.
That's a perfect example of how man has things backwards to the spirit. Like, try telling a wrestler, you overcome by submitting. It's like, what? You know, that's totally backwards. And man is backwards from the spirit.
Well, amen. Does anyone else have a word to share? By the way, you know, Joseph spent time in prison also, but not because of his iniquity. Prison did a good thing for Joseph. It brought him into humility. What is the term? Through suffering. And what does the word say about Christ? He learned obedience. Doesn't it say somewhere that about Christ coming to perfection in his suffering? Where is that?
It's like that. It said Christ learned obedience by the things he suffered.
As in Hebrews 5.
Hebrews where?
Chapter 5.
Yeah, let's read that verse in Hebrews before we quit here. Hebrews 5. Mm.
5:8.
There we are, 5:8. Yeah. Though he were a son. Okay, now we're talking about the pattern son again. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Next verse. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And here the word perfect means he became not perfect in the way we would think of perfection. He was already perfected, but he became mature and full and complete in his suffering. So the pattern son, if you want to go back to Joseph again, he became perfect, we'll say. He became mature. He came to sonship in his suffering.
I want to add one little thing to that, Mark. How important every little itsy bitsy word God says, how important it is. Mm-hmm. When that verse starts out, it says, though he were a son. Mm-hmm. What does that though mean? It means even though this was Jesus who had God living inside him, even though it was him, he had to learn obedience. That tells us if he had to, we definitely have to. So even the little word though has meaning.
Yeah, he came here on earth, born as a baby, the Son of God. I mean, he had the privilege. He didn't have to leave heaven. You know, he had it in heaven. But as a man, an earthy man, he learned, amen, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Yeah, he had to obey. You know, when he went wandering off there, when Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem, they rebuked him for not he wasn't sinning, but they rebuked him, and it says, and he was subject to them.
Brother Mark?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, brethren, to come in a little. As Brother Mike was introducing this message, he said that there was a principle that he mentioned one name, I can't remember again, you know, taking about three, taking the word, the spiritual meaning, then how does it apply to me? And then, so do I do or do I not do? Okay, so I think that is what was coming to me, and I want to, you know, bring a little aspect of what came to me in the passage, especially Genesis 43. You know, from verse 13 and 14, I read, take also your brother. We're and God you. Almighty give you mercy. Hello?
We lost you for a second. Could you back up and say that again?
Maybe my network, sorry. I'm reading from Genesis 43, verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So I'm seeing this man, Israel or Jacob, as our brother told us, and the story also, you know, he was very hesitant at the initial time. He was not very quick to release Benjamin. He delayed until time has passed and their food was running out before he could make up his mind. You know, but the decision is that the food had to be given to them again in Egypt on the condition that Benjamin should come along. And this man is still grieving for Joseph, whom he had concluded dead. Now, I'm bringing the fact of how does it apply to me. Now, this statement that this man was making and lamenting, I'm sure he was speaking these words with tears running down his eyes. Now, brethren, a reality is upon us as a people of the Revelation. Chapter 13, scripture says that a time is coming when we will not buy or sell unless we have the mark of the beast. So you look at a man that was very strong like Jacob. He said, no, I can't release you, Benjamin. But when, you know, the pressure came so strong and, you know, they say the war of attrition, you know, war of attrition is that, you know, they keep putting pressure little by little until you break, until they break your moral spine. So this is what happened to Jacob here. They are eating up almost the last stock of their food. And the man, Benjamin, which he wouldn't want to release at first, because of the pressure, he was now tempted and forced to say, if I be bereaved, I am bereaved. And it speaks volume to me, brethren, as, you know, trying to apply to us. If we don't receive the mark of the beast, we will not buy or sell. Some of us are still enjoying now because, you know, the war of attrition is still going on, little by little. As we follow up the news, you know, we see the plan of the globalists. You know, this new world order that they are trying to bring, they are bringing it, you know, little by little. I saw a video one of the days, you know, a scientist, one renowned English scientist, was warning and saying that if you go to the grocery or the supermarket to buy food, they have labeled some of the fruits, like water, melon, cucumber, and some of those things, seedless. He said, don't buy the seedless because that the globalists have a plan so that when all the foods in the world become seedless, you will not have the natural food that you can grow by yourself unless you depend on the ones they are making from the lab. And that is the plan so that the one world economy will come to pass. For without that, they cannot execute the plan of no mark, no buying or selling. So it is something that is very real to us. You know, are we able to be able to come? Because the message today is love not our lives to the dead. We are still enjoying a lot of privileges. You know, our economy is not as bad. I mean, individually, some of us have sustenance. We have good jobs. Some of us are living on social security and we are still enjoying. But I bet you for that Revelation 13 to come to pass, the world is gradually, you know, priming the economies of the world to the part that, you know, every individual has to depend on what will be centrally determined and tied to the condition that if you don't submit to their one world order, you will not, you know, be able to survive. So are we able to, you know, stand and say, no, even if I will die? You know, Jacob came to the point where he gave up. Well, it's the plan of God, though, for them to move into Egypt. But I'm talking about the expression here, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. In Nigeria here, you know, some of the jobs and the positions and contracts are tied to a fraternity. You know, when if you don't join that fraternity, you will not be given that job. Sometimes even promotion, when you are working in the government, if you don't belong to that fraternity, they won't promote you to a higher level. It's so bad, you know. So, and a lot of people, you know, when they consider it with the hardship and all, they, you know, go to sign and they belong to the fraternity and then they begin to enjoy the goodies. So brethren, how does it apply to me? That is why I'm bringing this scripture. You know, we are reading and it's like a story, you know, that happened to Joseph, Jacob and all. But it's very close to us, brethren, that when the enemy knows that humanity is tied to survival and he is bent to touching this source of your survival so that you will come to a point where you will say, I can't die. And so what do? Let me submit to the condition that is presented. So the Lord should just help us, brethren, that, you know, as we come to the realities of our time, you know, that, you know, the Lord will sustain us and give us strength to come to the point where we say, if I perish, I perish. Amen. God bless, Amen. Brethren.
Yes, Jacob, the strong man. He loved not his life, finally, to the death. If I perish, I perish.
Amen.
And in doing so, he actually began to submit to the final plan of God for the whole Amen. Tribe of Israel.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Titus. That was a good
yes.
closing for this word.
Yes, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mark, Sarita, and Brother Mike. It was an anointed word, and all the brethren. I am so blessed. Thank you so much. Amen.
Well, why don't we say our goodbye for today then?
Yes.
Amen.
Goodbye. Amen.
Let me stop the recording first.